Welcome to Integrative Preparedness. I'm Steve Smith. I want to talk today about Civil War. There's been a lot of talk about it. We've heard a lot of people talking about it. Maybe we've talked about it ourselves. We're all keeping track of what's going on. And probably have varying opinions on whether it's going to happen, what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, what it's going to look like. That's kind of what I want to talk about today. So I want to talk a little bit about the possibility of Civil War. How it's going to happen, when it might happen, and what it might look like. Because I think it's time that everybody start getting ready. If you are not getting ready for this yet, you should start now, as soon as you're done watching this. And if you are getting ready for it, just keep on and double your efforts, because stuff is coming down the road. I think we all know that. If this really erupts, it will be a true civil war, not like the one that they call the Civil War. That one wasn't. And people have asked me why I say that. And one of these days I'm gonna do a video just on that, explaining the entire situation about the Civil War. And really, that comes out of the Revolution, and then it feeds into to things since that war. But this isn't the time for that. What this will be really will be a civil war that comes as a result of an attempted Marxist revolution. Okay, we have Marxist factions and powers in our country. They've been building since after World War I, and most people don't realize that, but they have. And that's a whole other story on its own too. Maybe I'll do another one on that. But this has been building since the 19-teens, and it has never left. It has always been a quiet part of the American fabric and the American political system. Well, it is now coming to fruition. It really took hold in the 60s, and it has been building since then. Now, we've had periods of, you know, ups and downs in liberal and conservative administrations. We've never had administrations that were as conservative as the liberal administrations were liberal. So we've always been kind of sliding back. Okay, we've never been we've made a couple of steps forward under Reagan. We're making some under Trump. We really didn't do too well under the Bushes. They sang a good song, but they didn't dance the dance. So this has been building for a very long time. Let's see who's texting me there. Okay, I'll get back to it. This has been building for a long time, and now it is coming upon us. What do I think the chances for a civil war being? Sometime back I would have said even. Now I say pretty good. And the reason for that is that we have not seen these riots. We have not seen them subside. We're seeing them grow. We know they're going to grow, at least through the election. But also, we have had a good pushback from the other side. Now, you're not going to have a civil war unless you have two sides fighting, because that's what a civil war is. It's essentially two, or at least two, could be a lot, at least two sides fighting for control of the same government, okay, of the same country. And that's why that other one wasn't a civil war. But we do have. At first, I was wondering whether we were going to see any pushback as the police kept standing down and hiding inside their buildings and not doing anything to quell these riots. And they could have been shut down, I mean, right now. And they weren't. So I questioned about that. I think I know what they were doing on that. But they finally started pushing back a little bit. And then we saw citizens pushing back. That was the first sign to me that there possibly could be a real civil war. When it starts, and you can say it's already started, and I might make that point. I might say it has already started. We're in the skirmishes. We're in the probing areas right now. And like you, I fully expect this to go through at least the election, okay? If Trump wins, it's going to continue, and then we're going to, I'll cover that. We have a couple of different ways to go. So we're in the first throes of this, and this can be one of the most dangerous times of a civil war, or revolution. It doesn't make any difference. And that is when you have a large group of people who are committed to the conflict and the other side doesn't realize there's a conflict yet. Okay. Now, there are those out there who do realize it's a conflict, and these are the ones that are starting to give pushback. But for the most part, the average citizen, the average American, does not take this seriously. They don't think there's anything going on that hasn't been going on for a long time. This too shall pass. I'm too busy to pay attention. Oh, this is just silliness. I don't vote anymore. Both parties are the same. Blah, blah, blah. Well, this comes from an ignorant and uneducated and inexperienced citizenry who doesn't have an understanding, a personal understanding, of the dynamics of societal collapse, nor do they were they ever probably introduced to any of it in school. And if they were, they probably have forgotten it long ago. So they have no idea what's going on right now. Well, this is why it's dangerous. As we see race being interjected in this, and you know, if there's a way to get people to hate each other, it's to use race and religion. You know, you're not going to get the decent people hating each other over that, but there are always plenty of ignorant people to go around who will latch onto that. And if you can get a race war or a war based on or acting as if there's some racial part to it, or a religious war, you're halfway home, because people stop reasoning when it comes to that. And even though it's not the majority of people who are going to be included in that, the minority will just kind of start sucking in other areas, and they will be involved in things that will elevate this, and this will ratchet up. And as it ratchets up, we're going to see more people hurt, more people killed, more innocent people killed, more so-called hate crimes, more crimes that can be, framed as hate crimes, which will then inflame the ones who weren't inflamed before. And that's how it, and then all of a sudden, you know, somebody finally knows a loved one or a friend who was killed or beaten badly in one of these, and that gets them going. And that's how these things kind of elevate and escalate. So that's what's going to happen. One of the most important things to realize in this is there will be no safe place. And I don't mean safe space like, you know, they have in school nowadays. There will be no safe place in this. There weren't safe places in previous times. And the reason is because something like this explodes here and over there, and it's not a war of, you know, defined lines. It's not necessarily even a war of defined areas. The smart revolutionary, the smart insurgent, relies on surprise. They rely on shock. They rely on a terroristic type of attack that will have not just a physical impact, but an emotional and a mental impact on their enemy. Okay, so we think about the cities, and that's essentially where it's starting. And the cities will continue to burn. What's happening now? They're going to inflame this. They're sucking in a lot of support from the suburbs, the little social justice warriors in their skinny jeans, that think that they're a part of something bigger than themselves, and they're going to bring, this utopia to mankind. Well, they know they're not. They just hate the system, and they'd rather be out there doing that than working, because, you know, they haven't been raised to have jobs. They haven't been raised to produce. They haven't been raised to contribute in any meaningful way to society, their friends, themselves. They, half of them don't support themselves, you know. So being a part of something edgy and revolutionary really appeals to them, because they all had Che hanging on their wall in college, right? So the cities are going to be bad. The suburbs, this won't be something like a war that comes out through the suburbs. And I've talked before about what would happen in the aftermath of an EMP or CME, and would there be this golden horde coming out of the city? And I maintain that there would not be, and for those little bits that there was, they would be taken care of easily in the suburbs. Okay, so they would never get out to the country. You folks out there in the country, in the small town, you don't have to worry about that. They're not coming out there. But in the suburbs, it will be dangerous. It will be dangerous in the small towns, and it will be dangerous in the country and the farms. The reason is because the way that they will try to escalate this war will be making targeted attacks. Okay, they can't stand up to the police, to law enforcement, to whatever military may be brought in. They can't even stand up to the to citizens once the citizens have been awakened and say, okay, well, let's, you know, it's, you want to go there, it's time to go. What they will do is make targeted attacks that will, which purpose will be to try to chip away at the unity and the resolve of those people holding against it. So the suburbs, what will happen is there will be attacks in the suburbs. There will be attacks on grocery stores. There will be attacks, your wife and kids, or your husband and kids, or whoever, you know. They're going to go down to the grocery store, and all of a sudden there's an explosion. And maybe a van comes through, and all of a sudden machine gun fire, I know that's an old term, automatic weapons fire, comes out of this van as they just rake this this parking lot. Okay, that's the kind of attacks that will start to happen. And it won't just be one here and one there. It will be one here and then a half an hour later over here after the police and the fire have tried to respond to that one. And then there's going to be another one 30 minutes later, 10 miles away, and they're going to try to get emergency services over there. And then 30 minutes later, there's going to be another one 10 miles away from there, making a triangle out of that. And you're going to try to get, now you're trying to get a diminished emergency services resources to these places, and they're not going to be able to keep up. Additionally, what they will do is they're going to put the fear into the people of going out and doing any business. So they'll have an economic impact on that. People won't want to go to a grocery store after it's been firebombed. Okay. And I had somebody on one of the last ones that I did when I was explaining how the grid would be taken out. And they said, well, way to go. Nice job telling everybody how that can be done. Hey, I'm not saying anything these people don't already know. If they don't know this, we don't have to worry about them. But they do know this. This is elemental. Okay, this is just basic stuff. So I'm not giving anything away. So anybody was going to say you shouldn't tell them that, don't worry, they know. And as they start to put out these attacks, you're going to start shutting down society. You're going to shut down. It's going to be worse than COVID. It's going to be worse than shutting down the bars and the restaurants. Nobody's going to want to go out to a bar or a restaurant after several of them have been firebombed and shot up. Okay, so you're going to collapse the economic system. Now, small towns. Will small towns be exempt from this? No, they won't. And I'll tell you why. A story from a friend of mine. He called me, it's been maybe a month, or he texted me, and he says, hey, he lives at a small town south of here, maybe 20 miles. Nice little small town. I mean, nothing but good people and pickup trucks, right? And he says, hey, just heard that there's a BLM protest out here and at a such and such a place, and this is way outside the city. He says, I'm going to call some of the guys and we're going to go down there and I'll let you know what happens. Okay. Well, they got down there pretty soon. You know what? They were gone. Okay. People have this idea that the small towns will be able to defend themselves. Well, after they've understood that a war is underway, maybe they can, after they have set up, you know, security perimeters and things like that. But as this thing starts, and this is where, you know, at the start, is where a lot of the damage will be done. You know, what they're going to do is they're going to load up 7, 8, 9, 10 cars or vans or whatever, and they're going to say, we're going to go out and hit that little town out there. And they're going to run out there with, 40, 50, 60 people all packed in these things with guns and Molotov cocktails and anything else they might be able to get their hands on. And they're going to go driving into the grocery store there that serves everybody. And while three or four of them run inside, take out their satchels and throw these lit up Molotov cocktails inside this building, the others are going to be out there in the parking lot with shotguns and ARs and just shooting everybody that they can. And it's going to be over in about 2 minutes, if not less, and then they're back on the highway boogieing home. Nobody's going to be there to respond to it, okay? This police department may have one guy on as a town of, 20,000, maybe less than that. I'm not sure. Small town, though. If they've got a couple of guys on during the daytime, I'd be surprised, and they're not going to get there within 2 minutes. The sheriff's department maybe have four or five on during the day, and they're spread out all over a big county. They're not getting there, okay? Now, the county is full, as is the city, of good guys that if they knew there was a fight on, they would get their rifles and then be there as fast as they can. But as fast as they can is going to be, first they got to hear about it, then they got to get to their trucks and they got to call their friends and they got to head down that way. They're not going to get there in 10 or 15 minutes, let alone the 2 minutes that it took these guys to pretty much destroy the food resource of that town. And then these folks are back on the highway and headed back into the city. And then what happens to the food resources for that small town? Do you think there's going to be more deliveries to that store? Do you think that store is going to remain open? What are those people going to do? They don't grow their own food, most of them. Okay, even the people outside in the farms, they don't grow their own food. They might grow some, and some of the larger farms might grow some money crops, but it's not like the old times to where they grow everything that they need. And then those people, so you're going to have a lot of deaths in that town. You're going to have that collapse economically. And then those people, where are they going to have to go for their food? They're going to have to come into the suburbs, right? Well, the same thing's going on here. And that's going to be, as the attacks increase, that's going to be a dangerous 20 miles to travel. Okay, what about the farms out there? People can say, well, I'm safe out here. You got to come down. A lot of roads, and you got to come down a mile of gravel to get to my house. Well, have you ever read much about the farm murders in South Africa? Okay. If you haven't, then read about them. You're not safe. And in many ways, I would contend that you're less safe. You may have all the guns in the world, and you may have all the skills, but if you don't have a bunch of people around you, which they do in a small town, which they do have a lot more in the suburbs, then you're up a creek. You have what you have, and you're probably not going to come out very well. And someday the sheriff or somebody will discover that, hey, they'll look up in the horizon, they'll see a bunch of smoke, and they'll get there and see the remains of your house, and they'll see your animals slaughtered, and they'll see your family, laying out in the yard. I know it's not a pretty picture, but this is what could happen, and it could happen very easily. So let's move from that to what do you do? You need to realize that every moment of your day now is filled potentially with threats. Okay, I'm sitting here right now in my yard, in a very nice area, but if something happened right now, I would not be surprised. Okay? And yes, I'm ready, okay? To the extent that I can be. You need to understand that threat waits around every corner now, and you need to be, the old saying, ready, willing, and able. You need to be ready, willing, and able at any moment to defend yourself and those with you. Okay, so a lot of people, they start with the able. Yeah, I'm able. I've got a gun and I've got training. Okay, and yeah, I'm willing. Boy, if they bring it to me, they're gonna get more than they, you know what I mean. Where most people fall short is the ready. Okay. They're not ready. It happens. I've talked about this before. I've talked about the fact that attacks, although they don't happen usually without warning, they happen suddenly, and most people miss the warnings because they're used to a normal life. So they miss those warnings, and all of a sudden it happens, and if it happens to you, you're going to wonder what's happened even while it's happening, and wish that, you know, why didn't I see that? Why wasn't I ready? And that's a horrible, horrible place to be in. So you have to be ready at every moment. You have to be armed at every moment. You should always have every adult in the car. I say it somewhat differently sometimes. I say every person who's old enough to handle a weapon. But for purposes of this, I will say every adult in the car should be armed, or there should be arms in the vehicle for everybody who is old enough to use them. You know, there's times that I have people in my vehicles that don't carry, but I have weapons in the car for them if needed, and that's something that you might want to consider. Make sure that your vehicles are squared away. Don't let your gas get below 3/4 of a tank, and I'd even say make the last thing that you do of every day go and fill up, okay? Make sure that you have extra gasoline at your home, because as these attacks happen, first off, the price of gas is going to go sky high if you can get it, and sometimes pretty soon you won't be able to get it. As martial law, if it is enforced, you won't be able to buy gasoline in any containers. I went through that before during the riots of 1968 here in Kansas City. You won't be able to necessarily get what you need at the store. So in addition to having your vehicle stocked up and ready, make sure your spare tire is good. Make sure you know where your jack is and you know how to use it. You want to have plenty of food, plenty of water stored, the ability to purify water for an extended amount of time. Now, people ask me, you know, how long, and I think I mentioned this on a couple times ago. You know, for 2 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, if you don't have at least a year's food and water in your home, where you wouldn't have to leave, and toothpaste and soap and toilet paper and everything else, if you can't stay in your house for a year without going outside, you need to tighten up and fill those vacancies, fill those spots. You know, where are you soft? This is a great time to kind of make a mental checklist on that. And, you know, worry can be a great, just like fear can be a great motivator. You should be a little bit, you know, I won't say be worried, but be aware, be cognizant of the threats around you. And if it takes being worried, I know a lot of people are, you know, they're not in that preparedness mindset, so they are going to be worried. Excuse me. If this applies to you, then be worried. Be worried enough to go out and do something about it. And then, if you don't already know your neighbors very well, now's a good time to know them. Get to know them. I know every neighbor around here. I know their social bents. I know their political bents, because I don't want to be surprised. Because you know what can happen? First off, you want to know who you can count on. You want to know who thinks like you. Who can you depend on when this whole thing explodes? Okay. You also want to know about the ones that you can. You want to know about that guy down the block who may feel just 100% the other way, right? Because you know what? He has friends who feel that way. And if they're looking for a target and he's talking to his friends, he could say, you know what? I got a bunch of these red state, you know, morons in my neighborhood, and I just love to show you where they live. That's right. That's what happens in a civil war. That's what happens in a revolution. You got snitches all over the place. You have fighters and you have snitches. And there's more danger sometimes that comes from the snitches than from the fighters, because sometimes you can see the fighters coming. But the snitches are always going to give all sorts of information about you to the people who want to do you bad. And that'll come when you're not expecting it, even though you should always be expecting it. So what's going to happen? Is there a civil war coming? I think there's a good chance. I think that if Trump wins, This continues. The pushback continues. They don't give up. They've gone too far. They're not going to give up now. The other side is so fully entrenched in their ideology, idiotology, of Marxism and socialism, there is no other place for them to go. They will make the next 4 years unbelievable. If Biden wins, the next 4 years are still going to be unbelievable because of the attacks that we'll see on our constitutional rights. That then will bring a response from constitutionalists and patriots. Probably what will happen, and this idea isn't original to me, although I guess I thought of it the same time others did, but others have said it. I think probably what happens is that Trump comes back winning on election night, but they keep, they won't declare it, and they will keep finding enough votes in, car trunks and the back rooms of post offices and blowing down the street to finally declare Biden the winner, sometime in December or January. And then there will be a whole half of the country who won't accept that. So, as I've said before, long ago, there is no coming back from this division. People will say, well, you're crazy if you want a civil war. Oh, I agree. You're crazy if you want one. But, life is about choices. And just because you don't want something doesn't mean you wouldn't prefer it over the next worst thing, which is taking this country into a socialist Marxist decline that we and then our children and grandchildren have to live under. And I have no desire to live in a socialist hellhole, and I'm sure neither do you. So, is it coming? I think so. We will see. How's it coming? It's coming messy. How soon is it coming? It's coming pretty soon. It's already started. What you should do about it, prepare everything. Just like you're preparing for an EMP. And that's why I wrote my books about EMPs, because if you're prepared for that, you are prepared for everything. Now, I will also add something here, and I'm going to do a separate one on this. And it's about bugging out. There may be times that you need to get out of Dodge, if you live in Dodge, or in Overland Park, Kansas. If you live in Overland Park, Kansas, and you want to have those plans set. You want to be able to move quickly. You want to be able to load your stuff, know where you're going, get there quickly, get there safely, and set up. But that's we've already gone long enough on this, and that's enough for a whole video on itself, so I will save that. In conclusion, I'll simply say that I think most of you understand how serious this is. I know that most of you are ready. For those of you who aren't, please do everything that you can to get ready. We need good people on the other side of this, and there will be another side of this. And like we always say, that we prepare well today in order to live well tomorrow. Well, today, this is the today. This is the day we need to be preparing. And because we do want to live well tomorrow. We don't want to live under this constant idiocy and this constant conflict and these constant attacks and a constant civil conflict. We want to bring it to a conclusion in our favor and be able to live well after that. So I'll leave that there and wish you all a good day. Hope you have a good one, and I hope you're continuing to prepare to the very best of your ability. And I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.